Welcome to Feldman World Review.
That's your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, thanking you for tuning in. And, you know, it's great that you find your way here, or you listen to the podcast a little after the show, which podcasts sit there. So you just go to blogtalkradio.com/Feldman World Group, and it has all my shows going back all 9 years. I've been doing this. It'll be 10 years. In October that have been out here, and I appreciate the support. And you know, this is it's enjoyable. It's really my, like I've told people so many times, this is my therapy. This is my therapy, just to come up here and talk. That way I don't have to drive friends and family, particularly coworkers, crazy. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, the violence continues. We're into 100 plus days in Portland, and the riots continue bouncing around, and the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris campaign. Did I say her name right? I don't want to be called anything funny. Kamala Harris campaign rolls on, lie after lie. It's amazing how much they can lie. It's amazing. And it is also amazing that they use the same phrasing. You know, every outlet, every person, everybody on the Democrat, the progressive socialist Democrat side, they all do that. They all say the same thing. It's pretty incredible. But it is September the 6th, we're approaching the Labor Day weekend, and it's incredible that this stuff is still going on, and it's going to roll on all the way to November 3rd. What we're going to vote is a huge, gigantic block. We're going to outvote, okay, the cheating. We're going to outvote the voter fraud. We're going to outvote the mail-in ballot scam. We're going to elect President Donald John Trump again. It's going to happen. But you can tell they're laying the groundwork for the continuing riots and complaining and all the rest of it. It's just unbelievable. But one of the scams that we deal with, this is going to be the first segment of the show tonight, is the COVID update. You know, there's always little stories going on about the COVID update. With the COVID vaccines and the COVID this and the other thing. And I just got a couple of quick stories. Kamala Harris came out and said, Trump, he's not credible on possible COVID-19 vaccines. He's not credible. I mean, he's not making the vaccine, but I guess anything he says is incredible, according to Kamala Harris. And, you know, the Newsmax noted that Democrat U.S. Vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris said she would not take President Trump's word alone on any potential coronavirus vaccine. I don't know. You know, don't you find Trump to be a delegator? Doesn't he bring in doctors and military people and economists and stuff to work on things and to present things? I don't know. But in an interview excerpted excerpt broadcast on CNN on Saturday, Harris said Trump had a track record of suppressing expert opinion about the coronavirus pandemic and that she worried that might happen again in the case of prospective vaccine. She said, quote, I would not trust Donald Trump, saying she would be convinced of the efficacy of a vaccine only if someone credible. I guess she means herself, right? It's just unbelievable. But, you know, Kamala Harris, she's trying. She's trying to become the vice president. I mean, that's sick. Can you imagine what a Biden-Harris future for America would be? I mean, I don't have to go into it. You guys know already. We know already what that's going to be. But then another story about the COVID-19, or what it's actually, the true name of it is SARS Coronavirus 2. You know, it was a modified virus. I won't go into my theories right now. But I thought this was very heartening. I felt great about this. On Friday, the FBI raided a Pennsylvania nursing home where hundreds had contracted the coronavirus. And Torin Dyson, a writer for Newsmax, said that the FBI and investigators from the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office raided a nursing home where hundreds of residents and staff members were diagnosed with coronavirus on Thursday. A search warrant was executed against Brighton Rehabilitation and Wellness Center, Northeast Pittsburgh, according to Scott Brady, U.S. Attorney for the Pennsylvania's Western District. Now, investigators also searched Mount Lebanon Rehabilitation Center near Pittsburgh. Now, according to the Pennsylvania Health Department, 447 Brighton residents and staff members tested positive for coronavirus, including 73 deaths. In July, Brighton announced it had no coronavirus cases for the first time since March. Still, the facility had the worst outbreak in the state. Now, Brighton was flagged by state health officials prior to the coronavirus pandemic in 2019 due to poor health conditions that would allow diseases to spread easily through the facility. Quote, I can confirm that Brighton is one of the subjects of our criminal investigations into neglect at nursing homes during the pandemic, Shapiro tweeted. Now, Brighton responded to news of Shapiro's investigation with a statement to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, saying it has faith the federal and state and local governments, which dictate the required infectious disease control practices and policies, continue to grow in their understanding and ability to support, guide, and direct those who are on the front lines. So they were the victims. See, it wasn't their mismanagement or their inability to keep the place clean or keep people separated. It was somebody else's fault that all of this happened. But that's very typical. And that's very, very, very typical of the left, and it's very typical of the people that are, you know, coding deaths as COVID-19 so they can get the maximum amount of money for a coded death. I mean, there was a financial incentive, right, right, to find a lot of COVID. But, man, I can't wait till this thing fades out and people stop beating the crap out of each other over wearing a mask or not. Mask Nazis. Did you ever think you'd hear that term? Mask Nazis. That's what you hear it all the time now. Somebody walks into the place and, you know, they don't have their mask on and the mask Nazis come flying in. It's incredible, but they're really not Nazis. I mean, it's like calling President Trump a Nazi, which he's not. Never was, never has been. But, you know, September 6th, 2020, I always like to look back at history on the days that I'm on the air just to see what was happening on this particular day. And there's some interesting ones. On September the 6th, 1870, Louisa Ann Swain of Laramie, Wyoming, becomes the first woman in the United States to cast a vote legally. Okay, this is the first one to cast legally after 1807. So we had the first woman voter. In 1955, and this is something that I don't think Turkey has ever owned up to in a lot of ways, but in 1955, Istanbul's Greek, Jewish, and Armenian minorities are the target of a government-sponsored pogrom, and dozens are killed in the ensuing riots. That was 1955. And now, 100 years later from the first vote, woman vote, in 1970, two passenger jets bound from Europe to New York are simultaneously hijacked by Palestinian terrorist members of the PFLP and taken to Dawson's Field in Jordan. And, you know, we grew up in that era. I grew up in that era. There was, like, constantly hijackings. And on September 6th, 1972, we had the Munich Massacre. And for you who don't remember what the Munich Massacre was, is that 9 Israeli athletes died, along with a German policeman, at the hands of the Palestinian Black September terrorist group after being taken hostage at a Munich Olympic Games. 2 other Israeli athletes were slain in the initial attack the previous day. So see, these problems have been around a long time, a really long time. And in 1986, we're back in Istanbul, where 2 terrorists from Abu Nidal's organization killed 22 and wounded 6 congregants inside the Neve Shalom Synagogue during Shabbat services. So, you know, this is, you know, their Jew hate continues on, and it motivates everything that they do. Now, on September the 6th of 1991, the Russian parliament approves the name change of Leningrad back to St. Petersburg. And the change is effective October 1st, 1991. And the Soviet Union recognizes the independence of Baltic states Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. That was all September 6, 91. In 2003, Mahmoud Abbas, he resigned from his position as the Palestinian prime minister. But, you know, we know his real name is Abu Mazen. You know, he was Abu Mazen. He was a great terrorist, you know, back in the day. And he's still there, Mahmoud Abbas. He's still there, stumbling around, lying, cheating, hating Jews. And on September 6, 2007, Israel executes the airstrike Operation Orchard to destroy a nuclear reactor in Syria. See, so a lot of these problems have been going on for decades, for 100 years. I mean, this whole Palestinian thing, the Intifada, the founding of the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1920s, this is the 100-year war to get their caliphate back after the British, you know, kind of destroyed the caliphate. And I got to tell you, Britain really screwed up the Middle East. They really did. They partitioned countries the wrong way. They put ethnic groups together that were warring with each other for 1,000 years. And they really screwed it up, I've got to say. You know, and it was Israel that really, you know, and this is something I'd like to say. You know, they always say that, like, America and Israel have something to do with colonialism. But the funny truth of it all is that America and Israel were two countries that fought against the colonial power and drove England out. America did it in, you know, the 1770s, and Israel did it in 1948. You know, the British were driven out. So America and Israel are anti-colonial. Okay, so when you listen to the propaganda, the lying scum propaganda that we get all the time, you know, just remember, it's like saying that the Nazis weren't Marxists. You know, the National Socialist German Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler, they were Marxists. Antifa were the communist fascists, and the Nazis were the National Socialist fascists, and they fought each other. In fact, in 1932, there was an Antifa candidate, and there was a Nazi candidate. Now, Hitler got 38, and it was other candidates, but Hitler got 38% of the vote, and look what he did with 38% of the vote. You know, so that's a sad thing. But, you know, we always wonder, you know, all of us out here in the political stratosphere of the internet, you know, I'm always pointing out everybody's foibles, but, you know, what is it that we're for? What are we for? You know, as conservatives, as Americans, as patriots, what are we for? Well, I think we're for strong families. I think we're for having great communities. We want to have quality education, not indoctrination. They could say, well, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, that's indoctrination. No. No, that's respect for America and the history of America and understanding America, because the people that are running around in the streets now saying all these insane things, they obviously missed the American history part of their education, you know, and how constantly trying to become a better nation, a better union, as they like to say, as Lincoln liked to say, you know. And we want an economy that's built for the people, not for the corporations, not for the global corporations, certainly not. We want to bring the jobs back home. We want to bring the manufacturing back home. We want to become America again. You know, the leaders in medicine and science, instead of letting China steal it all. The leaders in peace through strength with an unsurpassed military, not like we have now with China and Russia and Iran and all these people that have these growing militaries, especially the Chinese. You know, they have much more conventional weaponry than we do at this point, you know, thanks to Clinton, thanks to Obama. You know, Clinton's big, remember, he said, oh, I got a surplus. Yeah, the surplus. He shut down military bases and military Air Force bases. You know, he didn't have a surplus of anything. He put us in a bad spot. As a matter of fact, there was an air base in southern Massachusetts and the United States Air Force Base in Massachusetts and one out on Long Island that were both shut down that may have been able to get to those planes that hit the World Trade Center on 9/11, 2001. But they weren't there anymore. Here's my journal. If there has ever been a time to be concerned about the direction of America, it's now. The difference between now, say in the protests that we had in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, is that since the 90s, the actors who hate America, they hate American culture, they hate religion, they want, you know, the people that want socialism and centralized control, who want to rewrite the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments, they have now infiltrated the government. They've infiltrated the judiciary. They've infiltrated huge corporations, and in some cases, they're running these corporations. They infiltrated our colleges and our high schools, even our elementary schools. And of course, what the hell happened to the media, right? I mean, the media, the Fourth Estate, they were supposed to give us all the information so we could make educated choices. They were not supposed to be propagandists for different political sides, all sides. They weren't supposed to be propagandists for the conservatives, for the liberals, or anybody. They were supposed to present. That's what journalism was. You present the story as best you can, so people can make a determination themselves. We're supposed to make our own determination. That's not what happens in school anymore. That's not what happens in the world here anymore. You know, you got CNN, and I made the note earlier today. You know, they should hire Jon Stewart to be the program director and become a new satire program, because that's what they've become anyway. You know, my father used to say that revolution through violence and protest and all of this won't work. He said if somebody wanted to overthrow, you know, a federal republic and just trample all over the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you need to get into the government, into the policy think tanks that push for change, you know, to end what we know as America. And my father told me that back in the 70s, you know, and they knew it. I mean, the Russians used to say all the time that you can't just attack America, because there's an American behind every bush with a rifle. Because we had citizen militias. And it made sense. It made sense to our founding fathers, and it makes sense today. Especially when you see what's going on. I mean, if somebody attacks the city near you, like we've seen in what, 45, 49, 50 cities so far, citizens should be able to defend themselves against these violent people. Because listen, this idea that they are peaceful protesters, forget it. These are violent Marxists and Islamists. They're carrying weapons. They're threatening people. They're beating people. We've seen the videos. You know, thus they don't depend on MSLSD and CNN to give us all of our news. We've seen the videos on the internet. The beatings, the attacks, the shootings, all of it. And that it was a clear murder, and they murdered that guy. You know, and the police killed that guy that had assassinated an unarmed American, and it's a Patriot Prayer on his hat. That's an extremist? Patriot Prayer is an extremist group? No, it's not the Klan. You know, the Klan's the Democrats, not the conservative patriots. The neo-Nazis, that's... The neo-Nazis have thrown their support behind Biden. You know, now the enemy is not only through the gate, but is one of the gatekeepers, the decision makers, their state senators, their federal congressmen, their university presidents, circuit court judges, you know, attorney generals, prosecutors. You know, Obama... People forget, in 5 years, Obama purged 197 military leaders. You know, those are supposed to be non-political, you know, the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, the NIA, all these different intelligence agencies are supposed to be non-party linked. You know, they're supposed to be doing it just from the case of protecting America. But that's not what we have. Obama got rid of some of the greatest generals. He set a few of them up. I'm sure you remember all the stories. You know, Petraeus. I mean, Petraeus was a hero. And in the Democrat, progressive, socialist propaganda way, what did they do? They got him telling some story to his girlfriend. He was probably a plant. But they got him. They got rid of him, too. So they made all these changes. And we see it. The election is now more critical. It's more than critical. It's an imperative to stop the progressive socialist Democrats in their tracks. We have to turn them back. But there's a lot to do. A lot to do. In the New York Times, it was reported that growing numbers of district attorneys are out to undermine the law. And when I read a title like that, I had to check out this one. Okay? One reason for the surging, often protracted violence in U.S. cities is the rise of a host of progressive prosecutors who actually tilt against law and order. This trend is most glaring in places known for their kooky left-wing politics, like Portland and San Francisco. But extreme leftists have also taken over district attorneys in cities like Chicago and Boston. Many owe a big thanks to their elections of funding from the far-left fat cat George Soros. But it's also others. Now, in Portland, violent protests have dragged on and on for months, thanks to the idiocy of Mayor Ted Wheeler, who let hoodlums drive him out of his own condo. But also the multi-mob county DA Mike Schmidt, who dropped charges against hundreds of people arrested for offenses like interfering with cops, disorderly conduct, criminal trespass, and rioting. Schmidt also made it harder to prosecute assaults on cops. In Contra County, California, outside San Francisco, too bad Pelosi's not there to see this going on, DA Diana Becton, who she's probably eating ice cream with right now, will now consider looters' needs when weighing criminal charges. At Politico, she and four other black female DAs from Chicago, Boston, St. Louis, and Durham actually slammed the very criminal justice system they were elected to enforce, ludicrously claiming it was, quote, constructed to control black people and people of color, and that it's now doing just that. Now, we know that's absurd. You know, justice is blind. The idea of justice is blind. If you're an American citizen, if you live in this country, there should be equal justice under the law for everybody, and that's what we're trying to get to. These people are using that excuse that this whole system was set up to control people of color when it's just not the case. I mean, the Bay City's DA, Chase Abudin, the son of Brinks robbery killers, who was raised by radical Weather Underground leaders Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, he too has adopted rules making it harder to prosecute suspects. Chicago State's Attorney Kim Fox, remember, she was the one that protected Jesse Smollett. You know, she vowed to cut the jail population, dropped 35% more felony cases than her predecessor over 3 years. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But it continues. We have to win this election. Okay, we have to. And also, Soros' dark money wants to buy your vote. It was reported on this really great site I just found called politicalfireball.com. In an article, it looks like a staff article. I don't see the author. But it basically says that Soros, they noted that Soros spent thousands of dollars personally influencing elections in New Mexico, while organizations and PACs aligned with him pour in even more dark money. In previous elections, New Mexico progressives have been part of this national effort. He's picked secretaries of state, including Maggie T. Oliver, and more recently has turned to placing his picks in district attorney offices across the country, from Albuquerque to Philadelphia. You know, we owe this to Hillary. Hillary was the one that really ushered the Soros era in. You know, the Democrat governor candidate, Michelle Lujan Grissom, and Secretary of State candidate, Maggie Toulouse Oliver, have already sold out New Mexicans to internationally known billionaire George Soros, who backs a network of progressive officials bent on changing and destroying the culture. You know, he's behind all these people. This has all been manipulated. So what we're seeing, when we see a case, oh, that's going to go to the court, and the court's going to say, this is what happened. But the, you know, and then all of a sudden the guy lets the guy go. You know, there was a man that he was carrying a Molotov cocktail, and he got arrested for carrying a Molotov cocktail. And a judge in New York City let him go, stating that he should have never been searched because there was no reason to search him. I mean, this is what we're up against. Now, this soft tyranny, you know, this takeover that's been in the shadows, slowly changing policy, using emotional propaganda to grab the moral high ground, to win the day, win over citizens, you know, that are just not up on the facts. And with today's media, the truth is hard to find, right? I mean, it is really hard to find. And there's so much disinformation, it just confuses the average person. But we're not average, are we? We patriots, we Americans, we've been following this for a long time. We don't want to go to have a civil war. We don't want to go meet BLM and Antifa out on the street, bring our weapons, our militias, our people, and get out there. I mean, we want to avoid that. We want to be a peaceful nation. We want to be a just nation. Right? We want to have a good place for our families, for our communities. We accept everyone. Okay, we accept everyone. The race hate is on the left. The culture hate is on the left. The religious hate is on the left. You know, but we're out here. We're social bloggers. We're citizen journalists. We're internet criers. We're people who just pursue the truth. We all must stand up and be counted. Okay? We got to take our Twitter suspensions. We got to take our Facebook restriction periods. But we got to keep fighting for the truth. And maybe sometimes we have to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations and stand up and say what's right. We can't just keep waiting. We can't, you know, the Republican Party, the Never Trumpers, these bums, these morons, they let Trump stand up there and take all this on himself. All he's got is us. All he has is the people, and he's been for the people. He came for here for the people, and he's working for the people. He's not here for the globalists. He's not here for the corporations. He's not here for the elites in government. You know, the left, the media, and now this Marxist Islamist revolutionary coalition, they seem to have an upper hand every once in a while. They seem to have an upper hand right now. But it's not going to last. If we keep the Senate, win back the House, and re-elect Donald Trump for president, then we'll be able to change this. Then we can really drain the swamp completely. And that's what's got to happen. Because this populism is important in this country. And that's what it should be about. We must vote. And this time, our lives, our families, our culture, our economy all depend on it. Push the vote. And push the truth. But one word that seems to have popped up in our dialect now, you know, that we heard about because Trump is stopping it, is this critical race theory. And I knew it sounded familiar from somewhere, and I happened to be flipping around looking for something, and I came back to Breitbart, and Joel Pollack has an article here, and he says, 8 years later, Andrew Breitbart vindicated on critical race theory. And, you know, President Donald Trump, he just announced Friday that he had ordered the federal government to stop promoting critical race theory in any of its agencies. Now, the radical theory has been used to train or indoctrinate federal employees who were told during some diversity training sessions that the United States is a racist society and that white people are to blame. The critical race theory training was exposed by Christopher Rufo, a contributing editor to the Manhattan Institute City Journal. Yet, the first to sound this alarm was the great, very missed Andrew Breitbart. In a story that was only published after his death in March, you know, right after his death in March 2012, video that Breitbart had teased at the Conservative Political Action Conference just weeks before was finally released. It showed a young Barack Obama speaking at a protest at Harvard Law School in favor of Professor Derrick Bell, who had clashed with the university over the issue of faculty diversity. More than that, Bell was a founder of the doctrine of critical race theory. Critical race theory holds that the United States is racist by design because its constitution and all of its other institutions emerged in a context where slavery was legal. According to the theory, the very institution of private property in the U.S. is corrupt because it is enshrined in the system that saw black people as chattels. And I just want to say there's an old Marxist saying that property is theft. Your private property, you stole it. You earned that money, well, you stole it. Well, in books like Faces at the Bottom of the Well, Bell developed his theory further, arguing that continued black suppression remained part of America's cultural identity. He even wrote a science fiction story, later a short film called The Space Traders, in which America sold black people to aliens. To Bell, the civil rights movement was regrettable in the sense that it misled black Americans into believing that equality before the law was sufficient. The real problem, he believed, was that the legal system itself was fundamentally racist. This is what we're dealing with now. And Obama brought this in. I mean, I remember at NASA having to put in critical race theory diversity training. And I remember all these agencies having these training sessions. I don't know if you remember, there were video leaked of these training sessions. It was a waste of tax money. If you're an American citizen, you deserve equal justice under the law. We as conservatives, Republicans, patriots, whatever you want to call us, we're the extension of Abraham Lincoln. You know, we're the children of Lincoln. Okay, we believe in equality. We believe in no slavery. The Republicans fought to end slavery. The Democrats fought to keep slavery in place. And they're still using slavery, okay, as a propaganda tool. But you know, this whole critical race theory, it's what they're talking about now. And it's what all these idiots out on the street, burning buildings, killing people, beating Americans with hats on, red MAGA hats, blue back to blue hats, gray patriot prayer hats. If you have that hat on, they feel they have the moral justification to kill you. Not just beat you, but kill you. And this is why this is so critical right now. So critical. But you know, the left, they don't care about, you know, they don't care about, they've been using African Americans all this time, after enslaving them and then fighting to keep them as slaves. They convinced them somehow that they flipped the script after Nixon whipped their butt in the election in 68. And I don't know how they pulled it off. I mean, LBJ, you know, signed the law, you know, the Equal Rights and the Voting Rights Act laws in. But he didn't push for those laws. LBJ was a segregationist. It's a joke. It's a freaking joke. But, you know, I know a lot of people are waiting to find out what's going to happen with our, you know, with our COVID deal, right? You know, are we going to get any more checks? Are they going to supplement the unemployment that people are on? I mean, unemployment dropped to 8.4%. It's great to see it in single digits. That reminds me of Carter, the 70s, right? Jimmy, 8% unemployment. Although the market had a nice spike up into 29,000, came down. But, you know, Jack Phillips wrote in the Epoch Times that Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said the White House and top Democrats have agreed to a continuing resolution to keep the government funded at the end of the month. But he stressed that will not be tied to the pandemic relief package after negotiations stalled again. But they're not stalled. You know, Pelosi and Schumer are forcing this, so it won't go through. It's like they want to wait until they think they're going to win this election. They're going to wait. But quote, we're going to move forward with a clean CR, the continuing resolution, hopefully through the beginning of December, Manchin told reporters at the White House. Now, Manchin said Sunday, that's today, that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi agreed to the resolution. I hope by the end of the week we can begin moving forward on that, he said in an interview with Fox News. Now, the government funding bill would keep the U.S. agencies operating, but would be separate from a parallel effort to provide another batch of financial aid amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Negotiations between top Democrats in the White House broke down in early August, and Pelosi later said a bill worth less than $2.5 trillion would not be passed to Congress. She is a piece of garbage. California, anybody from California out there, you got to get her out of there. You got to get her out of there. They don't care about the people. Do you think if Trump wasn't there that there would have been a financial package for workers, for people, for small businesses? Hell no. Hell no. You know, but this election is going to be freaking wild. Now, Trump's security advisor, he says China has the biggest election interference program. That's because they want their buddy Joe. They want Joe and Kamala. Now, China has taken the most active role among any of the countries seeking to interfere in the U.S. election and has the biggest program to influence domestic politics, U.S. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said on Friday, without providing the details. Now, we know the Chinese have taken the most active role. He said China had the most massive program to influence the United States politically, followed by Iran and then Russia. U.S. intelligence found that Russia orchestrated a cyber campaign to sway the 2016 presidential election in Republican Donald Trump's favor. And there have been reports hackers may try to... Now, you know that's not true. I mean, this is Allgemeiner. I'm reading this. It was a Reuters and Allgemeiner report. And it's just... Oh, my God. We came out. 63 million of us came out and made him president. We were not influenced by Russia. We were influenced by the need to change Washington, to drain the swamp, okay, to stop kowtowing to global elites like we've been doing, to stop this insane idea of critical race theory. We want this over with. We're equal. You know, that's why I love seeing what Candace Owens done with Blexit, okay? And I love it because the opportunity here is for everybody that puts the efforts in, you know? Puts the efforts in. But we have a lot of problems with that, but that's not going to affect the election. This whole idea that the Russians gave him a win is insane. If anything, the Democrats had Iranian money, Russian money, Saudi Arabian money, Chinese money, who knows whose money. They had all kinds of money. That's the money they've been spending. How do you think they get rich? How do you think these Democrats and the never-Trumper and elitist of Republican rhinos, how do you think they got rich? Taking all this money. Gateway Pundit reported that 19 foreign nationals charged with voter fraud in North Carolina in August. The charges are the latest in an ongoing investigation conducted by ICE officials. Maybe that's why the Democrats hate ICE so much. Okay? And ICE.gov reported 19 foreign nationals face federal charges in U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina for illegally voting in the 2016 – didn't they win North Carolina? Anyway, illegally voting in the 2016 federal elections, according to federal charges publicly announced on Wednesday. These charges are the latest indictments to result from an ongoing years-long federal criminal investigation being conducted by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Homeland Security Investigations, Raleigh office. Now, the federal grand jury in Wilmington charged seven foreign nationals on August 31st on federal felony charges, including falsely claiming U.S. citizenship or making false statements on voter registration applications, and with misdemeanor charges of unlawfully casting ballots in the 2016 presidential election. Non-citizens are not eligible to register to vote. I know you can't believe that. because we've been told that they're all voting, and to vote in federal elections. They can't do it. Now, there was Francisco Antonio Aguilar from Guatemala, 64, Rube Kaur Atar Singh, 57, from Malaysia, Rosalva Negrete Toledo, a.k.a. Rosalva Cortez, 65, from Mexico, Dave Delano Vigil, he was 57, from Tobago, Eloy Alberto Zayas Barriar, age 70, from Cuba, Emmanuel Okalune Atobi, age 31, from Nigeria, and Mokhtar Kad Ahmed Gulamid, age 48, from Yemen. I always talk about, If convicted, these individuals face penalties of 6 years in federal prison or a $350,000 fine and a term of supervised release. And there was a whole bunch of other people from Bermuda, Sierra Leone, Israel, Canada, India, China, Costa Rica, Mexico, Nicaragua, El Salvador. Illegal voting. And they want to do this mail-in voting? Well, guess what? The United States Post Office is investigating an alarming mail issue in Southern Cal. And Beth Baumann at Town Hall noted that over the last few months, President Donald Trump and Republicans have wondered how the United States Postal Service will be able to handle the influx of mail this fall with the election in November, especially as more states move to voting by mail. The concerns seem valid, especially considering the USPS is now launching an investigation into bags of mail. Check this out. Being dumped into two different locations in Glendale, California, which is a suburb of L.A. One of the instances was caught on a surveillance camera outside a spa. A budget rental truck can be seen backing up. Budget's a really good priced rental place. Can be seen backing up before a man jumps out and unloads bags of mail and boxes. It was completely unusual. If they're taking for their personal use, basically, why they have to drop off all the unopened packages somewhere? Lilia Sarobian, the co-owner of 7Q Salon, told CBS Los Angeles, "Of course it's suspicious. You start thinking, okay, something's going on because no one has access to all those boxes and packages." Now, police said the incident at 7Q happened shortly after a similar dump was less than half a mile away. Glendale Police Sergeant Christian Hofton told the Los Angeles Times the incident involved possibly stolen mail and whatever that was dumped into the alleyway. This is the most recent incident involving the USPS. A mid-August report of the LA from the LA Times explained other issues. Apparently crates of mail are sitting in the post office and they get shipped out the night before. And they find them laying around. I mean, that's pretty frightening. There isn't any control. There isn't any control, which is why it's a frightening, did he call me a simp? I don't know. Maybe. Anyway. I guess I'm a sympathizer with Americans. I'm a sympathizer with Americans. But as a Jew, I'm very sensitive to the rising anti-Semitism that there is in the world right now. But the thing that I've seen all over the planet for the last bunch of years is since Clinton, it's really become more evident, especially under Obama, is that Christians are under attack all over the world. And Giulio Minotti put together a story on Gatestone Institute that black Christian lives apparently do not matter. And he pointed out a couple of things. He said in Nigeria over the past 20 years, 100,000 Christians have been killed. Nigeria is becoming the biggest killing ground of Christians in the world. Nigeria, already the most populous African country, could have a population of about 800 million people in the year 2100, according to a study by The Lancet, and could become the ninth largest economy in the world. Now, how many could be saved if the media, the chancelleries, the international organizations had put pressure on the Nigerian leadership to protect its Christians? Why has the West never linked trade diplomatic, military, and political exchanges with Nigeria to protecting its Christians. Now, U.S. President Donald Trump in 2018 raised the issue with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari. Quote, "We have had a very serious problems with Christians who are being murdered in Nigeria," Trump told him. President Trump, however, is almost alone among Western leaders to raise the issue. When his predecessor, Barack Obama, met with Buhari, he never talked about the murders of Christians. "You know, stop the killings. Enough is enough. Our lives matter," said Nigerian Christians and church leaders gathered in London on August 20th to demonstrate against the massacre of Christians in their country. They sent British Prime Minister Boris Johnson a letter accusing the international media of a conspiracy of silence. And at the same time, a report by these three organizations, the International Organization for Peacebuilding and Social Justice, the International Committee on Nigeria and All-Party Parliamentary Group for International Freedom and Religion, or Belief, disclosed that in Nigeria over the past 20 years, 100,000 Christians have been killed. Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, Fulani herdsmen, and other Islamist groups are responsible for these deaths. See, folks? You know, here in America, we've got the Marxist-Islamist coalition. And around the world, and I'm not saying it's all Muslims, but it's Islamists. They're murdering Jews, they're murdering Christians, they're murdering Buddhists, they're murdering Hindus. Look what's happening in India. India was a Hindu culture. Also been taken over by this craziness. But now it's in Europe. And in an article on Remix, it says Christianity is under attack from Western Europe. Now, Christian Europe has come under attack from the most unexpected corner, Western Europe. Hungarian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Peter Szijjártó, said after meeting Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with the States, he said, quote, "We have been subjected to attacks from where we didn't expect any," meaning Western Europe, where Christian values are being questioned and they want to erase Christian identity, roots, and traditions out of Europe. He added that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. I could have a little comment about that. With more than 250 million Christians subjected daily to violence and persecution in the past few years. But the point is that we are watching Jews, we are watching Christians, we are watching Hindus and Buddhists being murdered, being destroyed, being intimidated, being forced into conversions, being, you know, publicly shamed. You know, and being forced to giving up their religions. You know, why isn't this top news? I mean, why isn't this genocide going on across the Middle East a top news story? What's Biden and Harris's plan for that? You know, Trump's already involved. Already involved, you know, and try to get consensus. But what do we have? We've got the ice cream eater in the House, and we've got the self-hater in the Congress, the minority leader in the Senate. They don't care. Instead, he wants to investigate campaign finance improprieties by DeJoy's former company. I mean, it's insane what they're doing. It's insane. They throw so much smoke up there. But The Hill reported, Julia Manchester at The Hill's reported that 9 in 10 voters say civil unrest is the key issue in this presidential race. Civil unrest. And she noted that the vast majority of voters in the new Harvard Caps Harris poll, released exclusively to The Hill, say they believe, that's because they pay each other, right? They believe civil unrest will be an important issue in the November election. More than 9 in 10 voters surveyed in the poll, 92%, said they thought the issue would be important in the presidential campaign and election, including 52% who called it very important and 40% who viewed it as somewhat important. The findings come as protests over racial injustice and police brutality have continued for months. No, the problem is we have a Marxist-Islamist revolution going on here in this country. And the police brutality, you know, what they want to tell you is that the police are out there hunting down and killing African-American citizens, and it's not true. You know, you guys have seen all, we've all seen the statistics. you know, they take one or two instances and they turn it and they extrapolate that. They multiply it times 100,000 and try to act like it's happening 100,000 times instead of 10 or 20 times in a period of time. But it's going to be the most critical point, because we need security. You know, you cannot have a great America when America is burning down everywhere. But you know what? And I was kind of glad. 9 out of 10 of these voters are concerned about the civil unrest, the violence against America. Well, Senator Harris, she applauds the mayor of Los Angeles for defunding the police. So hopefully those 9 people vote against her. Now, Kamala Harris said, "I applaud Eric Garcetti for moving to defund the LAPD, diverting funds to social programs, which in reality, after you wipe away the sugarcoating, eliminates resources and eventual manpower." Now, keep in mind, this is California, who already has legislation that more or less permits theft up to $950, where an individual may get a slap on the wrist. This is also the same state that is already releasing convicted criminals early from jail. The LAPD, as well as other jurisdictions who will follow Garcetti's lead, will see an increase in crime. They already are, as it is. You know, I mean, it's just, these people are insane. And the things that they've done, they let all these prisoners, criminals, violent criminals in New York, all over the country. What is wrong with these people? See, these are the plants I was talking about when I opened the show. These are the people. These are the people that have infiltrated, our country. And this story from Christina Lalia at Gateway, this criminal who was bailed out of jail by a nonprofit funded by Biden staffers violently assaults man, leaves him in a traumatic brain injury and a fractured skull. His name is Lionel Timms. Now, a 32-year-old accused felon committed another violent assault against an innocent man after being bailed out by the nonprofit funded by Biden staffers. The Minnesota Freedom Fund receives $35 million in donations during the George Floyd riots, and Biden campaign staffers were among the people who made substantial donations. Now, Lionel Timms was bailed out in July thanks to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, touted by Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris. Now, Timms was rearrested in August and faces one felony count, third-degree assault, causing substantial bodily harm, after he repeatedly kicked a man in the head. The victim suffered a traumatic brain injury, a fractured skull, and a brain bleed, all because Kamala Harris and Biden staffers helped bail Timms out of jail. Minnesota CBS reported the 32-year-old Minneapolis man was bailed out. Let's see. According to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, Lionel Timms faces one felony count, third-degree assault, causing substantial bodily harm. The victim is being treated at Hennepin Healthcare for a traumatic brain injury. I mean, is this insane? Why are they letting these people out of jail? Why are they letting these violent criminals out of jail? You know, this is what we're voting for. This is what people have to understand, that if they vote for Biden-Harris, what the hell they're voting for. Because if you notice at the convention, they didn't talk about their platform at all. They just talked about what a bad man Trump was, what a bad country America was, how terrible white people and Christians are. That's all they talked about. They're leading us down a very bad path, and they have set this whole thing up. You know, I'm not going to say they released COVID, but they definitely used the COVID epidemic for political purposes. And they kept us all hunkered down while they built up this revolution that became violent. And it turns out Breitbart reports that 48 of America's 50 largest cities have been hit by Black Lives Matter riots. The new data from Princeton University shows that riots associated with the Black Lives Matter movement took place in 48 out of 50 of the largest cities in the United States. You know, the study found, quote, "In more than 93% of all demonstrations connected to the movement, demonstrators have not engaged in violence or destructive activity. Peaceful protests are reported in over 2,400 distinct locations around the country. Violent demonstrations, meanwhile, have been limited to fewer than 220 locations, under 10% of the areas that experience peaceful protests. Mainstream media seized on the data last week to argue that the Trump narrative of violent demonstrations was false. But that's not quite the truth. We see what's going on. We see people getting hit. Now people are getting murdered. With 48 of our largest cities. And BLM, or I used to call it, what I like to call them is OBLM, Only Black Lives Matter. But videos, BLM attacks this conservative group in Texas. And Bob Price wrote that Black Lives Matter agitators attacked a conservative group at a Rescue America rally in Dallas, Texas. See, they shouldn't be allowed to attack people. See, they can have their opinions. See, in America, equal justice would mean this. You have the right to be wrong. You also have the right to be protected. There is no justifiable violence against another person. None. Unless you're defending yourself or they've attacked you or they're going to attack you or try to kill you. They can think whatever they want, but they can't attack people. These people think they have a moral imperative to hurt people. You know, and this guy, he breached the backstage security to disrupt the rally. He then appeared to assault a security guard for the conservative walkaway movement. Now, I like how they say conservative. The walkaway means these are people that were Democrats. And this guy, Brandon Straka, has founded this to get people out of it. And he happens to be a gay conservative. And he's trying to get people away from the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party is going to destroy everyone for their own power. And a video tweeted, you know, this guy wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt and a woman wearing a Defund the Police shirt allegedly assaulting a security guard at the Rescue America. As a security guard attempts to detain the alleged attacker, other BLM activists jump in to free the man. Like, oh yeah, they're all there for peace. They're there for peace. And Straka had tweeted that BLM agitator infiltrated stage area today's rally, then put his fist in the security guard's neck when being removed. And in fact, Straka said, I thought I was going to die. The walkaway founder attacked by BLM and Dallas mob hurls bottles at Brandon Straka, chases his group down the street. You know, this shouldn't be happening. Brandon Straka and his walkaway movement held a massive rally in Dallas, Texas today. Hundreds of Trump supporters came out to hear former Democrats tell their stories about how they walked away from the Democrat Party. No wonder they wanted to shut it down, right? Especially, he wouldn't want to get that on mainstream media. Now, during the local Black Lives Matter activists stormed the stage. Excuse me. One young BLM activist put his fist in the security guard's face when he was forced to be removed from the stage. The entire event was caught on video. And you can go to my Facebook, my Twitter page, my Parler page. You could see them all. That's when the black security guard held it down. But, you know, Brandon and his associates were attacked again. Well, they were leaving. They were throwing bottles at him, and they basically chased him down the street. You know, three cheers for concealed carry right there. You know, because you know you could have a permanent brain injury if you get hit in the head with a frozen bottle. You know, it's unbelievable. And militant leftists attempted to kill a conservative activist after a memorial for the Trump supporter murdered by Portland Antifa. Right, you know, there was a fundraiser has been created for Give Send Go. A member of the Proud Boys is hospitalized with severe injuries from being hit by a car after attending a memorial for Aaron J. Danielson. That's the supporter, the Trump supporter, the American supporter, the patriot who was shot in the chest by that sick Antifa dog, who has also met his maker now. Also met his maker. So these attacks just continue. And it's all the anatomy of these fake scandals, these fake issues in America. And we've got to end it. We've got to come out. We've got to outvote them. We've got to win these elections. We have to stay true to America, true to the Constitution, true to the Bill of Rights, because in the end, it is going to shine. In the end, it is going to be the answer. In the end, it is our best choice for the greatest society, the greatest economy, and the greatest people in the world. You've been listening to Feldman World Review. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the September 6, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here, thanking you for tuning in. And keep on coming back. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your distant relatives, your friends, bring your Democrat friends, you know, bring your liberal and progressive friends, and let's have a conversation. Next week, I expect somebody to call in. But anyway, just remember, Wednesday nights, 10 p.m., Sunday nights, 10 p.m., Feldman World Review. And always remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.